of season two.
Welcome to the
From Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network, welcome to Season 2, Episode 1 of the Sens Call-Ups for Thursday, August 29th, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and Pan Canuck and I are back for our second season covering the Ottawa Senators from the perspective of a group of fans sitting around talking hockey over a few pints. We're back to recap the summer and have a look at the upcoming season. There are lots of questions, and we've got lots of opinions. Will this team be pesky? How will life post-number 11 play out? Bobby Ryan's coming in hot, but will he stay hot? The SU forums are always online at sensunderground.com. You can email your thoughts to us at podcast@senscallups.com, and you can find us on Twitter. Boys, warm enough for you?
Yeah, but where's summer going? Next week is September.
Well, I think we skipped most of it. It just came back to tease us in time for it to end.
That's right, because this has been the longest summer of my life. I cannot handle this off season.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm looking forward to the start of hockey season. It's the end of summer. It's the start of hockey season again. End of summer has its own negatives to go with it, but at least hockey season will be starting up again. I have to say, right off the bat, wearing my new Heritage Mark Methot jersey, very sharp. Looking forward to wearing this a lot this season.
I've got my red one on now.
Excellent.
It's going to be real tough because I also got the Bobby Ryan one.
Ooh, decisions.
Yeah.
Which one do you wear?
I don't know. That's going to be fun. I think more of the offensive games, I'm just like, yeah, let's go for Ryan.
What do I do with my Alfredson jersey?
You could do the same thing I did with mine.
Just hang on to it?
It's in the back of the cupboard now.
Hey, the preseason tickets came in the mail this week, so that was a little exciting.
Yeah, that was fun.
Now, you guys are both season seat holders. Woo-hoo. Do preseason tickets, are they extra cost, or are they, because you are a season seat holder, you get them free?
Free. Well,
really?
No. Free in quotation marks.
They're part of the cost.
It's part of the package.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's still the discounted price. The minor now. So I don't know how much they are, but it's still like $20 or something like that.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yep. Haven't heard anything about any of the meet and greets or anything else though. So I don't think they're having it this year.
Oh, they'll have them. I'm sure that'll come out eventually. It was pretty popular last year. I had a lot of fun with that.
Great. You know, it's really annoying. And I was talking to my rep the other day, because, well, we were trying to do that Sens call-ups or Sens Underground get together at the games, which now consists of Ivan and maybe Puddle Duck. Cardinal, I don't think you did any RSVP, so I don't think you're coming.
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah.
Now, so I should be there, but now
you don't want to sit with us.
I'm hearing rumors of me being sent to Newfoundland. So if Ivan's coming here, I guess maybe I'm going there. So we'll see.
You have to keep the balance in the force. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. That's odd.
What the hell was I talking about?
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so I got those guys coming. Oh, yeah. That's it. So the season, the schedule came out. Tickets don't go on sale, I think, till the 16th of September.
For regular season?
Yeah. Like, they got the home opener out in the preseason. Like, that's all fun and great, but what about everything else?
Oh, I thought they already were. Okay.
No, I don't know.
Shows how much attention I pay to this sort of thing.
You know, the lockout season's over. You got to start shelling out some money this year.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Not supporting your ass again.
Well, he started with the jersey, so he's on a good start here.
Let me get right on. Yeah, I got a jersey already. We're doing well.
Yeah.
I'll get on it. I'm just not buying them all at once. I'll get to it. Anyway, we got lots to talk about. I mean, we've done a summer episode already, so I don't really want to rehash everything that we've already talked about. We can talk about them a little bit. I'm sure there have been more bits of news come out about most of what we spoke about during our last episode, so we can certainly go back on them a little bit. I mean, since the season ended, we've had free agent frenzy, and we've had some RFA work going, stuff going on, and we've had a development camp. So there's certainly lots to talk about, lots to talk about, especially with regards to Daniel Alfredsson, which I know we're going to be getting into at some point, because hopefully for the last time, or at least maybe close to the last time. But there's also lots to talk about the season that's coming up. I mean, there's going to be I think the team's going to look more than a little different. So how it's all going to work out yet, I'm curious to see what your thoughts are. So where do you want to start? Do you want to talk? Do you want to talk about free agency again? Or can we move past that?
Yeah, pretty much. The one thing that I noticed in regards to your notes here, I didn't know that Clark MacArthur got a no trade on that.
I read that in a couple of spots. And I think it's actually showing on CapGeek as well that he has one.
Yeah, so that's a little bit surprising. Did you get a discount?
We signed a Leaf with a no trade clause. Jeez.
No, the Leafs won't get them out anymore. So
I was going to say it's sort of a standard fare for a Leaf, isn't it? Or even an X one that they want to have that because it's what they've had up to now.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Cowan or Elfie
to talk about
what
or to have on your team?
What do these two things have to do with each other?
I don't know. Just kind of coming up to player rosters and whatnot.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't we get Daniel Alfredsson out of the way? I mean, this is a subject we're going to have to talk about at least a little bit. So let's get that one out of the way. And then we can actually talk about the team we're going to see, not the team that we won't be seeing anymore.
So do you want to talk about Cowan first or not?
No, I'm hoping he's not going to be hurt again this year. So we'll talk to him afterwards.
Okay. Oh, I'm using the wheelie chair. I'm not allowed to use this one. Shoot. You're going to get mad at me for that. Sorry, Canuck.
Wait, are you rolling away there?
Yeah, I can't stand still.
That's okay. I'm a jiggler.
So, yeah, we did the Alfie special. That was the trade deadline or trade UFA day. So yeah. We haven't gotten together and broadcasted anything in regards to after the Alfie press conference.
And it's been so hashed to death, too.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know what else to say. I've heard all the takes. I've heard other people talk on it.
Go ahead.
Well, in summary, I think I agree with other people I've heard that pretty much what must have happened, because you put all the pieces together. Well, there's two things. One is that his agent certainly wasn't very communicative between things Murray was telling him and telling Alfredsson. But at the end of the day, you know, the agent's there to make money. So if the agent get a better deal with Detroit, he makes more money. So it's in his best interest to get Daniel signed for a high-paying contract. But it seems to be that Murray must have went to Melnyk and said, look, you know, I want to get Ryan, I want to get Alfredsson. And at the time, Melnyk must have said, well, you know, see what you can do. So Murray went to the agent and said, well, what's the number? You know, trying to play that game. And then after about a week, of course, you realize that they're getting nowhere with that. It's like, okay, just open up the wallet and let's get him in. And at that point, it's too late because Alfredsson was tired of taking, you know, less money to take one for the team when really the only reason he had to take one for the team is because of Melnyk's budget. Sure, Melnyk changed his mind and opened up his blank check, but it was too late. So
yep.
I think that's all it was.
Yeah, and a lot of it, the concern that's really fallen out of that is in regards to Melnyk's affordability and what he can do for the team. I can do what some other, I guess, Sen Special can do and just read out Melnyk's Wikipedia page, but I've put a little bit more thought into this.
Be careful what you say here, because I don't want, you know, our podcast to get deleted from some Ukrainian hacker, right?
Nice.
Anyway, so I did a little bit of math, and I'll also talk about the way that I at least understand how the whole corporation and the companies are kind of broken up.
Okay.
Go math for it. Is a wonderful thing. Sorry, guys, I don't have that clip ready.
You got the new board, and you just failed on it already. So all that spent money, Canuck, seriously. Donate to the show! Okay, so basically the way that Melnick's kind of set up the whole tree of things is that the team is one corporation. The building is another. Capital Tickets is another. And then all of these are, I think there's about four or five. There's management of the building and all these other things. Each of these mini corporations, really operating companies, are owned by a holding company, which is 100% owned by Melnick in a trust for his daughters, which totally makes sense.
Okay.
So what happens is, as an example, because a building is a different company than the Sens, and this is just the way that I think that it's set up. I don't have any proof on it, but it just makes the most sense with how I understand the business is run. The team has to lease the ice and the arena from the corporation that owns the building.
Much as it would if somebody else owned the building. Okay.
Right. And so the reason to do that is that all your ticket price or all your ticket fees and all of that stuff doesn't fall under hockey-related revenue. So he doesn't lose half of the revenue right there. Now, Capital Tickets is another company that Melnick owns. It's not attached to the building or anything else like that. To buy Sens tickets, instead of going through Ticketmaster, when he bought the team, he created Capital Tickets.
Yeah.
Now, I believe the fee per ticket is $7.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So $7 per ticket. Now, I looked in regards to the average attendance per year since Melnick has owned the team. And because, so apparently he's lost $94 million over the time that he's owned, or the Sens have lost $94 million since the time that he's owned the team.
But how does that balance out with everything else, though?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That's a really important question.
So over the time, based on average attendance, and I took the two lockout years, and I think you got the numbers right on that. Total tickets sold are 44,719,016. If you multiply that by $7, total revenue is $313,033,112. Now, when they're saying that Melnick has inject his own personal money into the corporation. So when you're injecting money back into the corporation, what happens is that he's taking a dividend from Capital Tickets and putting that back in as a capital injection into the Ottawa Senators.
So he's taking money out of one column and putting it in another when it comes to the big holding company.
Right.
So the Senators are losing money.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
The Senators are losing money, but he's not necessarily, because his other companies are pulling it in. So it's a little bit misleading.
They're all interrelated.
Yeah, okay.
Like if you didn't own the Sens, he wouldn't have Capital Tickets. If you didn't have Capital Tickets, he wouldn't have the building. If you didn't have the building, he wouldn't have the Sens. So it's all related.
You got a text there, Pan.
I know. it's you the keep new texting Stooley. Me your, it's, your beer. Yeah. Anyway. So that's just my little take on that. So
that's an interesting thought.
So it's not as bad as they're saying.
Any breakdown in regards to that? I know I tweeted James Gordon, but I think he's just kind of sick of me.
That's a really interesting thought, though. It'd be really cool to see somebody. It'd be really hard to dig into it, though, since this is all privately owned companies, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There's nothing public about it.
Which you can't. But then when Sir Leader's saying the Ottawa Senators are, because I think he's CEO or something like that, but he might not be the CEO of Capital Tickets or the building. Just Ottawa Senators.
Jeez.
Anyways, so that was,
we're gonna get
that's just
here.
A thought that I had. It's like, is he really losing money? Does he really need the casino? Getting Capital Tickets versus using Ticketmaster is probably a brilliant move on his part. When you're looking at $313 million of revenue, granted, you've got costs to run, but I can't believe it to be anywhere near that.
Attention, Ukrainian hackers. We have the home address of Travis Yost, so please be nice to us. We'll give it to you. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, then yeah, forget it.
Then you're not on Twitter and you need to get caught up on stuff. That's an interesting thought on the whole breakdown of the way the companies are around the Ottawa Senators and the Ottawa Senators, the hockey club itself. So you could admit they might be losing money in one column, but making up for it in the other. But if the way you phrase it, you're talking about that one specific column.
Yep.
Because there's also the revenue on all the tickets sold for all the other events that go on in that building. Correct. It's not just 41 hockey games a year.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Good point.
So if this is a case, pave the frickin' driveway.
You mean parking lot?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh. What, you don't like the parking lot over there? That's a bit of a mud puddle for most of the hockey season?
How is it mud when it's asphalt? Asphalt or asphalt? I don't know. I grew up
asphalt.
Asphalt.
Tarmac. There you go.
Anyway, so that's really the thoughts that I have around it. Is it just people just playing with numbers?
And really interesting thought.
I love playing with numbers.
Yeah, I like it.
If anyone has any insight in that, let me know.
Yeah.
Email the show.
Yeah, that'd be really cool if we could get a little more input on that. Or just other thoughts, people, you know. Other input, that'd be very interesting to see how far we could drill down on that.
Yep.
I just had a couple of quick thoughts on Daniel Alfredsson, and I promise we'll move away from it. We kind of talked about it and moved away from it. Just a couple of quick ones, and they may not be very popular. I'll say that right now. I think that he actually used the right word on July 5th when he said it was selfish. But it wasn't selfish about wanting to win a Stanley Cup. It was selfish about, I want more money. And, you know, that's fine. I think it was the right word. I think it was used in the wrong context. And the reason I say that is that I've found that there's been an awful lot of talk about he deserved extra money because he played for $1 million in the last year of his last contract. Absolutely true, he did. However, in the first 3 years of that contract, he made $7 million, $7 million, and $4.5 plus $700,000 in buyout money from the previous contract that was bought out so he could sign that one. So making 7.7, 7.7, and 5.2, and then complaining about making $1 million after all of that? Sorry. That falls into spoiled athlete category as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, but he didn't make that much money on his house, apparently.
Was it divided by four years?
Divided by four.
5.15 average.
Exactly. And in when that contract was signed in 2009, 2010, that's very good money for a 35-year-old right winger. Very good money.
This was coming out of the Stanley Cup year? Right after, nope. Wasn't it?
Nope. Stanley Cup year was 2007. It was 2 years after that.
Man, is he ever a fallen angel now?
I don't know.
He's lost his God status here.
I look at it.
The way that I see it is basically, I kind of want to do a role play, but it's just not going to work. If I'm Alfie, because it's the 1 year, last year when he didn't expect to come back. It's like, you know what? Let's renegotiate now. Last summer. Didn't happen in time or it's just dragging on. It's like, you know what? Let's just focus on the year, but don't forget that I'm playing for $1 million. Year comes through. He does damn well.
Yeah.
Damn well. I'm sure that there's a couple of those games in the playoffs that we won just because of him. He was completely healthy. Still very, very big piece of the team. So the summer's over. It's like, all right, so I paid for this. Or played for really close to nothing based on what you got from me. And I think the previous years, he was getting fair market value for what he was.
$7 million?
Yep. What was Jerome Iginla making? And they're real close to age.
I'd have to go and look. But what I'm saying is an average of 5.5 over those 4 years is not 5.5 years, 5.5 million on 4 years ago. Not today's numbers where Malkin and Crosby are signing, you know, 8.7, 9.5.
Would you compare him to Iginla?
Probably.
To what he brings? Yeah.
Probably. What did Iginla sign for in Boston this year?
I'm bringing it up. Hold on.
It's 5 or 6, I think.
I can't remember, to be honest.
Six. Yeah, so he's got six.
Iginla's what, 4 years younger? All I'm saying is,
he's 36. Yeah.
All I'm saying is, he didn't play for $1 million. I'm really tired of that being thrown out. He played for an average of $5.5 million over 4 years. He got most of the money up front. That doesn't mean he was playing for $1 million in the last year.
Yeah.
It means he was playing for $5.5 million.
Semantics. That's right.
Exactly. And to say to take it, the whole concept of, well, you know, he was undervalued in his last year. Well, then that means he was overvalued in the first ones, because he signed that contract knowing the way that it was lined up.
Yep.
And that's a complete. I think it's an agent. It's an agent move, right? And I understand right. that. But
I think it's
crap.
The last year was a throwaway year.
It's still a contract you signed. And to say, well, it's a throwaway year, I want to renegotiate it.
Right, but when
that's a Yashin move. That's a Yashin move.
No, I don't like my contract. I want to extend.
I want to extend and have it paid and be paid more because I'm playing for less money now.
Did he sit out like Yashin did?
No, it's not. He's not sitting out like Yashin, but it's making the same demand that Yashin did. He wanted to renegotiate his contract and he sat out because he didn't get it. But it's making the same demand. I know that's not a popular thing to say, but I got really tired of listening to all this. I really did. If he wanted more money and that's why he went off and he's being selfish, fine. I disagree with it, but you know, it's a business. And that's what this is. It's a business. And somebody's offering you more money and that's what you're looking for. Hey, okay. I won't fault you for it. But to put all there's been so much he said, she said going back and forth, and it's all the blame is on, you know, the team. All the blame is on Melnick. Melnick has money problems. He did all of this. He didn't. He didn't do all of this. And that's what I'm really sick of in most of the mainstream media. Wow. It's not just one-sided.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has a piece of the puzzle here.
Exactly. And everybody should own up to that. And I don't want to talk about it anymore because every time I talk about it, I get annoyed because I'm so sick of it.
Well, what was it, Canuck? 45 text messages after that? I think you're on a flight, you come back on, and that was during the press conference?
Yeah.
Exactly. It was a little crazy. Now.
Well, you know, I was sad to see him go. Of course, we all were. We go back and listen to the end of the season recording there. But think of it now and what we know. We had time to cool down. We've had time to look at all this like we just talked about. This is probably a big blessing in disguise. I'm sad we don't have that, you know, that franchise player to retire here with the team. But take a look at what Solani's doing down in Anaheim, and kind of the stranglehold he's doing. It's like, yeah, I want to come back, but I only want to come back top six. And they've kind of been kind of held hostage by him and their love of him. Of course, like we would love Daniel if he said that. We may have. You know, we might be very thankful we got this happened the way it did. Sure, it deserved a better exit, but it might be some blessing here. I mean, do you really think Daniel Alfredsson has what it takes to go through another 82-game season and playoffs without injury? I mean,
that's I think is the one part that he lost a step last year. He was not as sharp as he was. And you're right in regards to the full season, that's really going to hurt.
Yeah, I agree.
But the one thing is, though, with Brian Murray, all the guys that he let go recently, over the last 2-3 years, after the year of hell when I think he really got the reins back, they've done nothing. Philip Kuba,
bought out.
Brian Lee, AHL. Matt Gilroy, who still no one cares.
Andre Picard playing over in Switzerland.
Yeah. So no one's come back and bit us in the ass with it. Maybe Chris Kelly, but hey.
Kasper Stockmans isn't signed either.
He really didn't play.
We got Corvo back.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, well, I still see a lot of upside in Corvo.
Yeah. No, just before we went off this, sorry, I had a slight technical problem where I disappeared for a second there. I hit myself on mute, I think. JP Barry is also the agent for Chris Phillips. So we might
see
have
ya.
Another. We might. Well, do you think that Brian Murray is going to be really, really, really keyed into this? Oh, he's also the agent for Curtis Lazar. just to make it more fun.
Well, however, there's a rookie cap, so that's okay.
However, we can take at least a little bit of solace in the fact that no matter how difficult he makes it for Brian Murray, there's another GM who he's going to make life even more difficult for. And that's Gillis. Because not only did Luongo just hire J.P. Barry to be his agent, he also represents the Sedin twins.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
I want
that's
that guy's
going
job.
To be messy.
Jeez.
Oh, you cannot be. I'm going to bring them up now. I think the twins are up this year, too.
They are. This is their last year. Yep. Yeah, I caught that one. You share the joke?
Okay. I was just looking at it. This is awful. Ryan Kessler gets a step right up, doesn't he?
It's going to be ugly.
Wow. Anyway. Well, luckily for them, though, Gillis is a previous agent.
That's true.
The way that he's handled Luongo has just been a joke. Now it's, do you re-sign the Sedins and buy out Luongo so that it fits?
Can you afford to?
If you want
to
watch.
And after trading Corey Schneider, you can't.
Did Vancouver use both of their amnesty buyouts this offseason?
They've used zero.
Oh, they haven't used any, so they still can next year. Okay.
They have the money for it.
But if they buy out Luongo, they've traded Schneider. What are they going to do for goaltending? Yep. Oh, it's going to be a fun train wreck.
That's why I was just totally shocked. I don't understand it.
Well, Luongo is the number one goalie for Team Canada for the Olympics, so maybe. There's nothing wrong with the guy. It's the only thing that's wrong is the way they handled him there.
Oh, big time. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what becomes of the Vancouver Canucks in the season that's to come. It could get really entertaining.
My gosh, we're ADHD tonight.
We are. Now, did you want to talk about Joel Corvo? Let's get off. Let's finish talking about free agency.
We talked about him last time. I think Cowan's a more important guy.
Okay. So, well, we got lots of players with injuries that are going to be back this season.
Hey, Cowan, yeah. I heard that he was offered an 8-year deal worth like roughly years, $3.5 million a season or something. And he hasn't taken
it? Yeah.
3.25.
Yeah.
That was a terrible offer on both sides.
Well,
I'm fine with the bridge contract.
If he wants to sign it though.
Like, you know, a year or two with a lower salary to show his potential. If he's great, I want him to get paid great. You know, I don't want any cheap skating going on here. And we got to get past that, but we got to get this guy
signed.
There's
no reason to sign him to an 8-year contract after 60 games.
So
I think for him, 6 years from now, $3.5 million is nothing.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
For top four.
Oh, it's an absolute bargain if he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy, but then why would you sign as a general manager someone who's had injury problems since he was 17 to an 8-year contract? So the term doesn't make sense for the team.
Doesn't make sense for him either.
The price doesn't make sense. If you sign an 8-year contract, it's beautiful. But the 3.5, it's dumb.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. But the way that I look at it, and really I don't know why they haven't just thrown this out here. PK Subban last year made $2 million. This year's making 3.75. Kellen, you're nowhere near what PK Subban is. Take $2 million this year, 3.25 next. Then we'll talk.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
That fits into the budget. Go ahead.
I don't disagree, but I would imagine they've already tried that tactic and been told no. He's looking either for more money on the short term or he wants the long period.
Then get me an offer sheet.
Yeah, you're not going to get a good offer sheet for him.
Yep. That's the key with being a restricted free agent.
Drew
Doughty was the last one, I think, that held out, but that was Drew Doughty. He was cup winner and Olympic champion. You're not playing in the same pool here.
What does this do to the long-term effects of the relationship between Jared and the team when the longer this holds out? Is this just business and it's no big deal, or does this start planting seeds, you know?
Oh, you've got Carlson. You know you're not going to be Carlson. You know you're probably not going to be Mathot.
Well, that's the other side of the coin, is if he does start getting paid, like if he demands $5 million a year, he walks into that dressing room making more money than Mathot. And then Mathot's up at the end of this year or the end of next year. What do you do with Mark Mathot's contract?
Well, he's not going down.
Quite frankly, he's worth more money than Cowan is. He's certainly a more valuable player than Cowan is right now.
Right now, yep.
So you can't be paying Cowan more than what you think you're going to want to pay Mark Mathot. So working backwards, I think that's where this, well, we're seeing you fit in around this price tag. So this is the price tag we're offering. But if you want to make it long for security, we will.
Yeah, that's what I thought. This year makes 3.25, next year 3.75.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's all right.
So, no, but are you gonna price Cowan at the same price point?
Oh no. That's why I said 2.75.
I agree.
You prove yourself.
I agree. I'm on your side on this one. Trust me. Yep.
So that's why I think as the agent, they need to take the bridge contract. $5.5 million over 2 years is pretty damn good.
Sure. I would say so, especially since he's yet to play a full. Well, no, he played one full season 2 years ago. He played, 82 games out of that.
I like him a lot.
But I agree. But
he's a 3-4 on this team.
Yeah. Prove you can play. Prove you're not injury prone, play, and you can play regularly for a couple of seasons. Then we'll talk, because we already have a guy who's doing that right now, and you cannot be positioning yourself as more valuable than him.
And don't forget that not this season, but next season, Borowiecki's on a one-way.
Yep.
So he's going to fill up a 5-6. He's still got Greiba and Weirkosh.
Mm-hmm.
And Greiba with a little bit more time can really be more like Cowan.
I think so.
Really, what do we remember of Cowan outside of a couple good hits?
I remember him getting a 4-point game, and then we immediately traded David Runblad. But I was at that game. It was awesome. 2 goals, 2 assists. Beautiful. It's like, you know,
Cowan was in that big fight too, right? The bench clearing, or sorry, the line brawl at Montreal.
He started the line brawl.
Yeah.
What I love about him. He hits like a freaking truck. Yeah. He started the line brawl. He killed the guy in Carolina on his first game back and had to fight 2 guys for it and won both fights.
Yep.
Listen, if when, what's his face though, was in Boyle, was it? No, not, what's his name in the Rangers that was punching up on Carlson in the playoffs?
Boyle. No, Brian Boyle. Boyle.
Okay. We had Philip Kubo with him. If you had Mark Mathot or Jared Cowan out with him, do you think that would have happened? Not a chance.
Well, because they'd be about the same size.
You just brought up a good point, Penn. We don't have to stand there and shake our heads when Daniel Alfredson gets a hit to the head and the team doesn't respond anymore. Woohoo!
Well, when anybody gets a hit to the head anymore, the team will respond.
They've done it all the time. Last year especially, and even when Alfie was getting hit on or with the whole Zach Rinaldo thing, no one cared.
No one cares.
That's really weird to me. When you'd think you do that to any other team's captain, you drop and go.
There might be a big blessing in disguise here with him leaving. I don't know. We'll see.
So Cowan still needs to be signed, but hopefully his hip is going to be 100%.
Get her done.
When he gets back. I have to ask you guys, because I've been looking around and I haven't heard much on, I know McCulloch went to Germany for his knees.
Yep.
But I don't know what was being done there or if there's been any report on them since then. I haven't seen or heard a thing.
Don't care. Get off my team.
Well, he's making $6 million this year.
I know. He's not going to be back.
I'm not sure he will be.
You know what? He really doesn't need his knees for what's going to happen this year. Just get to the net, stay there, wait for Ryan and Spezza to shoot it at you.
Yeah, get a lot of dirty goals.
20 goals. That's exactly it.
Ryan's a bit of a net driver too, though, right?
Sorry?
Ryan likes to drive the net too.
Except when he drives the net, he gets it in top shelf.
So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. If he's willing
he's
to go to the net
60
too.
Goals. I'm calling it now.
How many?
60 for Ryan.
Oh, he's going to break Heatley's record?
That's bold.
Yeah, screw Heatley.
I'd be okay with that.
Very I think happy, everybody actually. Would be okay with that.
No, I mean, I'd be okay with them breaking Danny Heatley's record is what I was talking about.
That too.
I'm really just looking at him playing with Spezza.
Yeah.
Great setup guy. Carlson can pick up the back passes to no one, shoot it back to the zone, and then Ryan can pick it up.
And Spezza's back is in good shape. Apparently his knee, which he had operated on, is in good shape. And Carlson's Achilles, he's got some numbness. Okay.
Welcome
he's got
back.
Some numbness. And I was really getting annoyed. I get annoyed with mainstream media a lot. I just realized this. They're saying, oh, he's not feeling right. It's not feeling... No, he's not feeling it the same way because he's got some nerve damage in that foot. So he's feeling really good. It's just the physical sensation isn't the same, and that's what he's having to try and get used to.
Yeah, but did he lose any nerves in there, right?
Hard to say.
What's that thing? You know that slicer thing that you could use to cut cucumbers and whatnot?
A knife? What are you talking about?
Slap chop or whatever, slap chop.
Kind of like the slap chop, but the one you just like take the cucumber or the carrot and you slide it through and it minces it. Anyways, well.
Okay.
I think it's also the name of something. We'll throw in the free chamois towel.
Oh, yeah. It's something that you buy off TV. Anyways, my sister cut her index finger on that because she didn't use a guard. No Teflon gloves.
Uh-oh.
And so she lost, it was a lot of blood too, but she also lost some nerves in her finger because of it.
Well, she sliced off
a layer
of
skin, her time. Yeah. So it took her time to get used to what's going on around there. I'm sure Carlson's going through the same thing.
I'd imagine.
Probably Anderson went through that with his finger. Well,
yeah,
seriously.
That's blocker side though, so it's not that bad.
I'm sure.
I still don't know what he was doing ice picking with his left hand. I don't know.
Maybe he cut his left hand with the knife in his right hand. Anyway, lots of talk right now about who the next captain of this team is going to be.
McCulloch!
Interesting take. Care to defend it?
No, just a very...
It's just the only soundbite that you've got with the name in it.
Oh, okay. We've already heard the giggle one, so we got to go on to something else. For the longest time, all the talk was about Spezza, but I've been noticing that there's been more talk over the past 10 days to 2 weeks about Chris Phillips, which was the talk, 2 years ago, but it just seems to be resurfacing now. And...
I will say this. Phillips is the guy who stands there and high-fives everyone on the way out after a win.
I really like that about him.
I can't decide between the two of them which one I think would make a better captain. I really can't decide between the two of them. They both have pluses and minuses.
Who are the real candidates, you think? I think it's Spezza, Phillips. Do you think Neil's in there at all?
Let's go back
to last year when you guys wanted Chris Neil.
What? I think Chris Neil is excellent with an A on a sweater, but I don't think he's a captain.
I think I agree.
Listeners, go rewind to last season.
I say that because I don't think he would have the respect of the referees.
Carlson?
No, too young.
I think he's too young, and plus that's just a pure marketing move. That's like giving Crosby the C.
Or Landeskog.
Yeah, Landeskog. That stinks of Landeskog. I agree.
There you go.
And the other thing with, you don't need to choose Carlson now.
Nope.
Because regardless of what happens, Spezza and Phillips aren't going to be around for that much longer, right? And I know that, you make $6.5 million and you're married and you're only 21. So you're kind of ahead of the curve compared to your peers globally.
He'll be around for a while.
Phillips and Spezza both have contracts coming up next year too.
Yep,
that's the part that I think. If you take the business out, I think Phillips is probably the better hockey leader. You want to re-sign Spezza? You can't say, well, you're not the guy.
That's a good point.
There's a bit of marketing when it comes to Spezza. But at the same time, he's the one that always took the face-offs when Alfredson was away. He is... he was on the cover of EA Sports 1 year, hockey. I don't know. Phillips is a little bit older. He's got a little bit more veteran presence. He also has restaurants in Ottawa.
I don't know whether Phillips will be around next year.
They'll be around next year.
I think he will be.
You think they'll re-sign him for one year?
Is that our boss and I'll take him? Could you imagine that? Well, I don't even know where Redden is now, but Chera, Redden, and Phillips all in Boston.
That'd be frightening.
Oof. Yeah, that'd be scary. I think he'll be back. I think he really likes it here. If you give him even money, that's okay. He's a 5'6".
What's he make? What's he making?
Two or something? Oh, no, never mind. I don't want even money. It's 3.25.
I was going to say, I thought he was over 3.
Oh, that's his salary too. Oh, just let me take a look at that.
For a minute there, I thought we're playing blackjack here. Even money, even money.
Yeah, that was a disaster when we went.
Whew. So, if I think Spezza is the one you go with, and now isn't that a bet between Sistine in Toronto and Russell from the old Sens Underground?
I believe it is.
Was it $100?
We're going to have both of them on a conference call whenever the captain gets announced.
Oh, that'll be entertaining.
That'd be so much fun.
I'll bring beer. That'd be good.
You always bring beer.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
All right. So that one we'll see where that one goes. I think it's going to be an interesting one. I don't think it can be whichever person they pick. I don't think it's necessarily a bad choice. I think they'd both be a good candidate for it. But I think it'll be Spezza rather than Phillips.
I think it's the smarter decision for a business perspective.
The thing is that on a national, compared to the rest of the league, he's not going to be respected.
Well, he's not as respected on the Olympic team, that's for sure.
All right.
I'm okay with that. He played, what, 5 games last year?
Yeah. I'm okay with him not being
on the... He can't play the wing like the other guys.
There are so many... very, very talented Canadian hockey players that not being on the roster for the Olympic team, I don't see that as an insult.
Actually, getting a rest is probably a very good thing.
Exactly. I'd like it if nobody on our team makes it onto their respective country's Olympic team.
Remember Hasek?
Like Erik Karlsson's not going to make the team.
Or, well, Craig Anderson might make it for the U.S. as well.
I don't know. Who knows? Well,
yeah, he probably should. But
he could be a second or third, depends on how the year
goes. It's probably Jonathan Quick's the number one, right?
Yeah.
Or is it Lundqvist?
Or Ryan Miller.
Oh, no, geez.
Jonathan Quick's got number one in the bag. I think you got to bring Miller because he brought you to the silver medal last time.
And there's Lundqvist.
He's Swedish. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm smoking tonight.
Yeah. I think they should really bring John Gibson. No, seriously.
Well, yeah.
Well, Cardinal, you know junior hockey better. USA Hockey loves this kid.
Yeah, he'll be around for Olympics in the future.
Come around for the show. It's third goalie. They never play.
Mm.
They dress as a backup for one game so that they can get a medal. That's it.
Yeah, it's not a marketing thing, though.
What the hell?
That's a development thing.
Yeah.
Cardinal, in your notes, you have Jim O'Brien as a possible captain.
I was wondering whether anybody was going to comment on that.
Bring me the hammer of justice.
Like Job and Griba.
Guys are slow off the mark. I'm going to start
Griba's going to struggle to make the lineup this year.
I'm going to start putting more stuff like that in the notes just to see if you guys are awake.
What was the guy's name in Washington before Ovi got it? Clark? He couldn't stay up in the lineup and he was a captain? Oh, boy.
Yeah, we'll see. No, I was just putting names down randomly. Now.
Yeah, very randomly.
Very randomly, as randomly as I could. We during the last season, especially during the playoffs, we talked a bit about a number of players who just lit it up and refused to be anything other than running at full throttle and impress the hell out of us, to be honest, both in the season and in the playoffs.
And a couple of weeks ago, via one of our many offline or off recording conversations, we were talking about who would be the player who just has a, you know, their the ultimate don't quit attitude going on this year. And I mean, taking into account what had gone on last year and up to now. And we all kind of had different attitudes on this one. Because the first name that comes to mind for me was the guy who had it going on during the playoffs, at least to me last year, which was Colin Greening. And I think, Pan, it was you who said Corey Conacher, who certainly had that on as well.
That must have been Canuck.
Was it?
I picked Zibat.
Oh, you picked Zibat. Sorry, I got you guys Zibat's backwards.
My dark horse, man.
Your dark horse.
Greening is the guy that you keep around for the playoffs. And he may not do much during the season, but he's there for the playoffs.
Well, what I call Greening too, like I call him my elevator boy, because he can move up and down that lineup and not be a problem.
Yeah, anywhere you slot him in, he's doing whatever job is given to him.
Like he gets a little bit hot, or let's say a Corey Conacher type player starts to struggle, which he did in the playoffs and he just kept getting benched. No problem with Greening on the second line as wing.
No, not at all.
But not the whole year. He's no Brendan Bocanski.
Thank goodness. Not a Bobby Butler either. Same. Yeah. Same.
But
happiness.
Then you need him defensively, your third line grinder, fourth line, whatever it is. He's very, very useful that way.
I agree. That's why I'm looking forward to him, because I think every year he's been in Ottawa, he's improved. I mean, what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Especially when you move up from. You know, he had good seasons in Binghamton. He's had good seasons up here, and he keeps improving himself every year. So,
are you guys seriously worried about Corey Conacher?
Yes.
He has an awful lot of competition for making the lineup this year.
He's got competition for top line.
No, any line.
No.
Any line.
Any
line.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
I can see him being sent down to Bingo and keeping some.
I see what you're saying, because he's got to be top six or nothing, right?
Okay, we're all talking here.
Sorry. Go ahead, Ben.
It's going to be fun for the listeners. Sorry, guys. And girls. Are you seriously not concerned about Corey Conacher?
This guy was loved in Tampa Bay. He's going to turn around. I mean, he had a slowdown at the end of the season there. I don't know. I'm not giving up on this guy.
I'm not giving up on him.
Please. We traded Ben for him.
And I are really agreeing, and it's creepy. We haven't done that all summer.
No.
I like the kid a lot. He's got heart, but sometimes he gets carried away, and he seems to have a temper.
Good.
Which I am fine with. Believe me, Bobby Ryan's got a better one.
BFR.
He's nowhere near as close defensively as a Greening is, or I don't even know what the second line is. But even like JGP is very useful, even though he's a center, it's a little bit different.
Look, when McCulloch gets his knee injury and he's out by October 21st, let's say, Conacher's going to be that nose to the net guy.
No, that's when you bring Greening up.
Yeah, I think he's not big enough to be the nose to the net guy on the first line. He's just not big enough.
Pesky little bastard. Yeah,
he needs to play down the lineup so that he plays against not the skilled guys against him.
I found he was very effective against Montreal when he, JGP, and Condor were playing as a third line. But that's a really small line against another team that's very small.
Montreal typical.
That is.
But putting him up against Pittsburgh. Now, I mean, the whole team got run over by Pittsburgh. I'm not trying to single him out. But honestly, I don't see him being all that far ahead of some of the players who are in Binghamton and trying to make a jump up here. I really don't.
So did you put him up against the trade with Ben Bishop?
Well, just because we traded Ben Bishop for him I don't think that should mean if somebody like Mark Stone or Mike Hoffman or Shane Prince, some of these other guys, they're going to come in here and be looking for a spot. And if they're looking for a spot, who do you think is going to be sitting for them to get a chance to play?
I honestly think that, yeah, Conacher's got a good chance of maybe only playing 60 games this year.
And if we're going to have a small forward on our team, would you rather have Conacher or JGP playing?
JGP.
Exactly. Because he's a center, but he can play pretty much anywhere.
And we don't
have
Alfredsson anymore, so you need him shorthanded.
Yep.
Because it's him and Conacher and God knows what.
Yep. Well, Spezza was killing penalties early in the season last year and late in the season.
Yeah, I don't want to burn him out, though. Like,
no, but I mean, you can move
it
around.
I'm okay with it. I don't know. Smith, I think, is, I know, his plus minus is terrible.
Zibad was doing some penalty killing as well, but he was, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of options. I'm just not sold on Corey Conacher. I'm really not sold on him.
I hope he works out.
Who do we pick for the second round for him?
Oh, I don't.
We got Conacher and a second round? Or do we give Bishop in a second? Oh, it was a fourth round.
Yeah, it was a fourth round pick because the comparison was made, well, if the fourth round turned out as well as Jean-Gabriel Pageau did. See, I just said it. It works out as well.
Best crowd chant ever.
I so much fun. Still love that. I hope that happens again. Whether he's, you know, he doesn't have to score a hat trick. Next time he scores a goal, that just start that chant. It'd be awesome. Just awesome. So we'll see. I'm not trying to be down on Corey Conacher. I'm just not convinced that he's the be all and end all, especially with some of the other prospects. Tobias Lindberg. Is that the goalie? The Swedish goalie? I can't remember.
No, I'd have to go back. That's Hogberg.
Okay. They're all Bergs.
Iceberg.
Nice. Now, we have. Is there anything else you really want to talk about the centers? I mean, there are a couple of other things we could talk about, but you know, there's stuff about Binghamton. Luke Richardson signed another year. Happy to see that. Most of the RFAs have re-signed, including we have another Carlson now. We have a second Carlson playing down in Binghamton.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Ludwig, and he's a winger.
Anyone heard anything about Hockey Night in Canada and Bob Cole, whether he's coming back?
I haven't heard. I'm sincerely hoping he's not.
Well, he gets a Montreal games though, so like he's a second guy now.
Yeah,
he would have fun calling Carlson to Carlson.
He's the Sens player passes it up to the other Sens player. Scores. Oh, they're all going past the goalie now.
That's too bad. That was Fraser McLaren, born in Sault Ste. Marie, up against the player in the red helmet.
That was great. That was Ottawa Ghost, I think. That was awesome.
Oh, painful. Painful.
You know what scares me? Glenn Healy keeps moving up and up their scale.
We'll take a look at the scale.
Yeah. Yeah! Nice. That's solid.
It's been a while since I've done that.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a couple of new faces in Binghamton that Sens fans should be, a couple of them they'll be aware of and certainly be watching out for, which will be Cody Ceci, who's now finished his junior career, first round pick 2 years ago. So he'll be there, as will Matt Pumple, who was the third of the three first round picks that were picked with Zibanejad and Nason and Pumple. Nason was traded with Silverberg for Bobby Ryan. And there's a new goalie actually down in Binghamton as well. One of the top prospects unsigned out of NCAA last year and well sought after as well. So he's a prospect that I've read a couple of different people talking about saying, I don't know how Ottawa guts them, all these goalies, but this is a good one to have. So,
well, geez, with all this talent you're saying Binghamton has, they should win the Calder Cup again.
They have a lot. They had a terrible season last year because they had a ton of injuries.
Also, we had a ton of injuries. We stole them all.
And we stole all their good players who weren't injured. So they had a pretty tough season, but still played pretty well. So we'll see. We'll see.
By the way, thank you, Elmira, for following us on Twitter.
Yeah, that's right.
We get very cool. Some recognition from
easy now.
Go Jackals.
Easy.
I'm going to stop myself before I get in trouble. What happened to the other two? Like, what are the names?
They're both
not Dreiger.
Chris Dreider and François Brassens. Brassens?
Yeah.
They're both back in junior, as far as I know.
Okay, that's good. At least their contracts don't start.
Yeah, they're only 19, so I believe they're both back in the WHL and in the Cube.
That's fantastic.
Yep. Let them play another year. Because Dreider did very well.
Yep. I think Brassens did, too.
Well, Quebec went out in the first round of the playoffs in the queue. Calgary went to the final, the Eastern Conference final of the Western Hockey League.
Didn't Quebec also play Halifax, though?
I can't remember who they played.
I don't know. But, well, it's also junior hockey, right? If you're the team in front of you, is bad.
Yeah. It's true. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Moving away from the Senators, there's been some interesting stuff around the league that we just had to talk at least a little bit about. There's the reorganization of the divisions in from 6 into 4. When the names were announced, there were a lot of question marks, and I don't know which is funnier, honestly, a division called Metropolitan or the fact that Ottawa and Toronto and Montreal are in a division named after an ocean that they are hundreds and hundreds of kilometers away from.
Yeah, and Detroit and Buffalo.
Yeah. Oh, Detroit. Well, really, that's further. That's right.
It's Boston and the Florida teams?
Yeah.
That actually touch the ocean?
They're the ones that are close to it, yeah.
They just named us the other guys.
Yeah. The Atlantic Division, I just think, is ridiculous. But the Metropolitan Division, I don't think that has got to be one of the worst choices ever made. It's just absolutely stupid.
Like, Columbus is not exactly what's a your problem with my name? I don't know.
I don't know why they couldn't go back to, you know, the Patrick Division and the Adams Division.
The Nor'easters.
You know, okay. The North. You know, there's nothing wrong with celebrating a little bit of history rather than trying to imitate the other pro sports with their geographic location divisions when the way that the NHL is organized is different from them and it doesn't actually, you know, work.
Okay, so I got it. So I would rename the Metropolitan team or division the Money Division.
The Money Division,
Carolina,
yeah,
Columbus.
That's there, now the 8 p.m. Just 8 p.m. So you 8 p.m.? You don't forget what time it is. Central Division.
Oh, okay.
Because they're an hour behind us. Pacific team is you only watch them in the playoffs division.
How about the late night division?
And then the other guys. Oh, yeah.
The second NHL half of the doubleheader.
That's it. NHL after dark division.
Okay. Second half of the doubleheader division.
And the other guys.
Honestly. Metropolitan division. Okay. Sure.
It would have been like just as good if they would have gone House League way and just gone blue, red, orange, green.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, why didn't they open this up to marketing and let, you know... Oh, the Staples Division, the Best Buy Division, Manulife Division.
Listen, they're not getting food out of me.
And the Bank of America Division.
Jeez.
Sponsorship of the division names. Someone's going to hear this and they're going to take it to the NHL and then they're going to do that.
That's gold. That's gold. And then they're gonna That's get a great fried. Idea. Trademark. Oh.
They're just going to get fried.
That's hilarious. But the problem is I can see it happening. The way that the pro sports world goes. Oh, let's name it after that. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, lots of other things to talk about. But let's take a break.
Coming this fall to the Canadian Tire Centre, from the producers of HBO's Game of Thrones, comes a story of a northern hockey nation forced into civil war after their golden king abandoned them. Follow as new allegiances form, each laying claim to the captain's throne.
McCulloch! 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 McCulloch!
You are the rightful heir to the throne, Jason. You must lay claim to the throne.
I will not just stand by and have that giggle boy lay claim to the throne.
Silence! I will not not tolerate any more failure. Bring me Lord Cassian's head on a platter.
Who will rise to the captain's throne? Who will fall? This fall, all shall be revealed.
Who are these men with hearts and determination of warriors? Senators? Bah! Will no one rid me of these pesky Sens?
Sean Couturier just signed a 2-year extension with the Flyers at $1.75 million per year. And when he was drafted, that was the year that we picked up Zibat, and a lot of people figured that we were going to be, you know, Sean Couturier fell to sixth or was still available at sixth, and everybody was thinking, oh, we're going to get Sean Couturier. This is going to be awesome. And then they announced Mika Zibanejad was picked, and Sean Couturier fell to about ninth, wasn't he?
Couturier went right after him.
Yeah, he went right after him.
Was it right after? Okay. And the question I wanted to ask is, Couturier did not have a very good year last year. His rookie year, very good. Showed a lot of potential, you know, scored some pretty nice goals, etc. Last year, bit of a struggle. I mean, the whole team was struggling, but still. What are your thoughts on having Zibanejad instead of Couturier? Would you still reverse them? I'll say I wouldn't.
I'm tough perfectly choice. Happy tough with Zibanejad. Choice.
Sorry, say again.
I think it's a tough choice. I don't know.
Pan?
Couture is playing the wing now too, right?
Yes, I believe.
Because we have Turris now, which we didn't when we picked up Zibanejad, I think I'm happier with Zibanejad based on how the team's built. I don't think you can go wrong with either one, but I think Zibanejad does bring a different element to the team.
Very much so.
Then Couturier could.
I think that I think this was one of those times where everybody doubted Brian Murray, and based on the way that he's been building the team, I think he made the right pick.
Yeah,
simple and as that.
You can't fault this drafting or the scouts. They know this stuff inside and out. Like Carlson was a long shot too, right?
Oh yeah, he
nobody
came out
but
of
Pierre
nowhere.
McGuire liked that. Traded up and you pick a guy that was way down in the depth chart, and now he's a Norris winner, and he's probably going to get like the next 4 or 5 in a row.
Now that he's healthy again,
yeah,
absolutely. No, I agree completely. I agree completely. Now on. Just a little bit of off-season stuff. This falls into the category of I love it when irony raises its ugly head. On the 28th of July, the owner of Minnesota, whose name escapes me right at this moment, announced that they lost $30 million last season. In one season, they lost $30 million, and a quick look at their payroll points out the fact that Zach Parise and Suter each made $10 million in bonus money. And this is the same owner who, after signing Parise and Suter to $98 million contracts each, days later was saying, the teams are poor. We can't afford what's going on here. We need to change the salary cap. He was one of the ones advocating for the lockout.
I think he was probably hoping for a rollback.
A rollback, exactly. Here, I signed these big contracts. Now get me out of what I just did.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
That's self-inflicting. Listen, Minnesota's a great hockey market.
I agree.
It's just because you only had 24 games, home games.
Instead of 41, yeah.
41. Multiply it out, and he's only got to pay those twice, I believe.
Yeah, there's only two of them. Then there's only two $10 million ones. I think there are a few fives after that.
Yeah, and they'll be okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know about you, but the U.S. equity market skyrocketed in the last couple of years, and you needed some capital losses to offset things. I don't know.
We'll see.
Does he also own capital tickets?
Yeah.
Okay, money boy.
I like my math. Not that I do it in a career or anything, but I like my math.
There's nothing wrong with that. And Minnesota also signed Matt Cook to a 3-year contract at $2.5 million per season.
Yeah, you didn't like this one at all, did you, Cardinal?
Well, I think it speaks volumes to the integrity of the NHL owners as a group when they refuse to make serious changes to the way the game is played to protect the safety of players, and they continue to reward players who are known for injuring other players.
It's a crooked system, so you hire the crook.
It's well put. Very well put. And that's the problem.
He was a game changer. He's a slimy piece of crap. But if he's on your team, come playoff time, you're going to be happy.
Was it not him who delivered the hook to Mark Savard?
No, that was elbow to the head.
Yeah.
But at the time, he was playing within the rules. Right? I'm just going to try to look him up real quick here. But he absolutely demolished Ottawa.
Well, he had a lot of Ottawa players running around after him, which was part of the problem.
He was drawing a lot of penalties, which I can't believe that Carlson's considered a diver and he isn't, and they still call against him, knowing his reputation.
Yeah, exactly.
Pittsburgh typical.
Well, but look at who he was playing for. I don't think he'll be able to get the same leniency this year playing for Minnesota that he had playing for the league darlings in Pittsburgh. And they are the league darlings. We all know that. The NHL loves Pittsburgh because the face of the league plays for them. So they get an awful lot of breaks. So we'll see. We'll see how what his ice time and PIMS and everything else turn into this year.
Looking at it just without the biasness, it's very good money for him. And I think he's going to be very, very reliable on that team.
Heatley's still on that team too, right?
Heatley's still there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he's got 1 year left, I think.
It'll be interesting to see what happens to him after this year. Who's going to sign him and for how much? Somebody will. But he's not going to be making the same kind of money he's making.
Toronto. I want him on Toronto.
Oh, Toronto.
Toronto wouldn't sign him.
Yes, they would.
Yeah, they would.
You think?
He's a great player past his prime. Of course they would.
He's a 50-goal scorer, all-star.
That's where New York goes, isn't it? New York?
No, the Leafs are much, much better at that.
We'll see. I think it'll be fascinating to see where he goes after that. But who knows?
Who knows?
Hey, Canuck, I just got a DM from TJ. It's like, you coming down to California?
I'll fly.
We can go down to California and have fun. But no, you want to spend Thanksgiving with your family.
Yeah.
That's what Thanksgiving
is. Even with a side trip to Vegas.
Yeah. Like, that's going to go over.
Yeah. Moving on.
What are you smoking? Oh, gosh.
Two different teams were sold this summer. New Jersey and the Coyotes. Now.
Oh, yeah, Coyotes. I forgot about that.
Well, you see, the whole thing about the Coyotes was I've seen so many different prices listed for what they were actually the amount that the group paid for them. I've seen everything from $160 million to $225. I think the $225 includes all the revenue that's going to be coming from the city of Glendale to pay into the team to keep them there. I'm not sure. But I think that the actual price was somewhere $160 or $170.
Meanwhile, they bought them on cash flow promises. Mike Ribeiro's in Phoenix now? Yes. See you never.
Easy now.
It's Mike Ribeiro.
Yeah, rat boy. I'm not fond of him.
Yeah.
New Jersey was also sold earlier this month to the owner of the Philadelphia 76ers.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, for $320 million.
Yep.
For a team that has $230 million in debt, but just had their number one star player, well, who's not really, retire and go play in the KHL, walking away from more than $80 million left on his contract. How bad does it have to be to play in New Jersey when you'll walk away from that kind of money?
He got a taste of Rush again, missed it, went back.
I guess so.
Olympic still. Year. What did he sign over there?
I can't remember. Fair, big coin. But what you say you're going to get paid in the KHL and what you actually get paid in the KHL tends to be two very different things, apparently.
I hear the travel is luxurious, especially their airplanes.
Oh yeah.
He won't be traveling on Air Canada jets, you know, beautiful, all customized first class seating aircraft, that's for sure. Yeah.
Wow.
We'll see. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back in the NHL in a couple of years, but if that happens, if he comes back, does New Jersey not still have him under contract? I don't know.
Re-entry like Radulov. I think that's what.
But Radulov was still under contract. He had a year left on his contract. And that's why he went back.
He's got to pass waivers or something. It's something weird.
Yeah, we'll see.
Or is it like, what was that goalie? Nabokov?
Nabokov. But Nabokov was a UFA. He didn't walk away from a contract that he still had. Radulov and...
Right, so the contract is void now because he retired. If he comes back, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know whether he's still under contract.
He would have to come back in the same year that he played in Europe.
Yeah.
And then he'd have to pass through waivers. Otherwise, he's UFA.
So Islanders it is.
Yeah, by that point they'll have finished paying for Yashin, so they'll have some space.
No, you know what? Brooklyn's a lot nicer now.
Yeah.
Long Island's really nice, but whatever.
Only parts of it. Parts of a Long Island are not nice at all.
The Coyotes are just a disaster. They're still a disaster.
They've got potential,
I don't understand it. There's so many conditions on the revenue streams and all of that. But yeah, the owner of the 76ers buying the Devils. Fantastic. Because when you have that much debt and you just go write a check and pay it off.
Must be nice.
Fantastic. The only thing is they're down first round pick next year.
They don't get it. They have to be down in first round pick next year.
I was kind of shocked that the owner didn't kind of negotiate that back, especially that the player is gone.
Interesting point.
Fans would have hated it, but whatever.
Too bad. It's the way the game goes.
Especially the one thing that I do like about the Coyotes, having new ownership. If things aren't going well this year, we can move McCulloch there. And he would very much like to go.
Play with his brother?
Play with his brother. Extremely close. Maybe get David Runblad back.
I don't want David Runblad back. We have enough puck-moving defensemen around or coming up in our system. I don't think we really need him.
Yep, so we'll see. Maybe we can get a first-round pick again. Because we don't have one here. So, anyways, that's just one thing I was thinking is... I don't want McCulloch. I'm going back to the Sens right now, but I don't want McCulloch back because that $6 million will have to go to Spezza and Ryan down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 2 years, then just fill that up with something else. I don't know.
Yep. Well, we've got other young talent to bring up, but who can fill the spot on the roster for less money and use the money for somewhere else, especially if we're still on a budget, which I presume we will be. We're not going to suddenly be paying up to...
We're not getting a new casino in the city.
Yeah. And the soccer team,
too. What a train wreck that is. The whole situation is just a joke.
Yeah, because what was it? Wasn't it just the Minister of Finance said no?
Said it's not under consideration. Didn't say absolute no. But it was a mostly no, but not a completely official one. And then the whole thing changed around to, okay, then we'll just go with a single track then. Yeah, we'll go for a single source contract. Mm. Yeah, that usually works well. No competition. Yeah, I think
having two didn't make sense. I don't even know where the race track is.
Rideau-Carlton Raceway, Bank Street South
by the airport.
out south of the airport.
Oh, it's so inconvenient. Yep. The thing is, if I want to go to the casino, I'm just going to zip over to Hull.
Exactly.
Doesn't Melnick know that don't bother with this casino nonsense? Just open up some friggin' Tim Hortons. Those are a license to print money in this country.
Yeah. Especially the ones at Scotiabank Place.
Oh, man.
Open up four
the
of
Canadian
them.
Canadian Tire Center.
Four of them right around the arena.
Yeah. They are a license to print money. For sure. One other team I want to talk about just briefly. I have to give the Dallas Stars an awful lot of credit. They have their new GM decided he wanted to really make over this team in a hurry.
And did he ever?
Holy crap, has he ever. I can't think of it. I can't think of his name. Just evaporated my mind.
I've never even heard of this guy.
He's been around. But, you know, basically they have all new centers. They've brought in a bunch of different veterans on the blue line, some of whom might be a little overpaid or past their prime or whatever.
Gotcha.
But Whitney. But they've certainly made the team over in a hurry, and I think that team is going to be a bit of a surprise this year. It may take them a little while to find a groove because there's so many new faces and everything else that's going on, but I think they could.
Well, they're also in the 8 p.m. division.
Oh, 8 p.m. I thought you said 8 p.m. All right.
No.
Yeah, that's it. 8.
So fine. Chicago's also got that one. St. Louis, Nashville, Minnesota, Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg. You're revamping there, and you got a good chance of being top three.
Yep. Could go very, very well for them. Very well indeed. Final thought. Team Canada. There's been a lot of talk about their... the people putting together what they think the roster is going to look like. And certainly in Ottawa, the debate has been about whether Mark Mathot gets on. And there have been some talk about Mathot versus Subban as to who would be better for, especially for a 7-8 defenseman. Probably wouldn't make the top six.
Like it's even a choice.
Well,
if we're making the choice, making the question, it is.
Who's making the choice?
It's they're picking PK.
Of course, they're picking PK.
Well, the media people are picking PK because he's the Norris Trophy winner and he's the darling of the networks because he's completely unpredictable and he's very offensively gifted and he can run a power play. If you're picking a defenseman because he can pick a power play and he's completely unpredictable, and you want to put him on ice that's 15 feet wider, I don't know.
I don't think Mathot can skate fast enough.
I think he's positionally sound enough. He may not be fast enough, but he's really good positionally and angles and that sort of thing for the wide ice to have somebody who a forward is.
But isn't that what Seabrook and Keith are for?
That's two.
Okay.
What if one of them gets hurt? Then you're down to one. That's why you have spares. And the other spare, it's Subban and Dan Boyle. These are not tough players. These are not guys who you're afraid to go into a corner against. That's the one angle I've been looking at.
There's got to be some other ones. I can't remember who's on the invite list right now.
There are tons. This was just the one question that came up in my mind. Was like, well, I don't know. I it's not because PK Subban plays for the Montreal Canadiens. It's not because he's the current Norris Trophy winner and it wasn't Eric Carlson because Eric Carlson got hurt. I've been watching PK Subban play since he played for Belleville, and he is completely unpredictable. He's very creative. But he sucks defensively. Unless he's got a really, really good partner to back him up. He's very creative, but he's also completely unpredictable. And his teammates sit there going, what the hell?
Yeah, well, I think really PK's got the same issue that Mike Green did last Olympics when they picked Doughty over Green. Just, yeah, you're good offensively, but it's just not a fit. Ham Hughes. Okay, you want to go defensively? Duncan Keith. Oh, I don't want to see Phaneuf. Mark Staal. If he's
I don't think you'll see Dion Phaneuf. I really don't.
I think he's too slow. But Mark Staal's the other one. So you got Mark Staal, Seabrook, Keith, Weber. Granted, Weber's more offensive, but I think he's got a good two-way game. Very good two-way game. And I've got Mark Mathot's name on my back right now, just like Colonel does.
As do I. But I'm not saying that as a you know, because I'm wearing a sweater with his name on it. I think it's it's more the question of PK Subban, really? Really? Because yeah, you're looking for a guy with a right-handed shot? Because Mathot's a right-handed shot as well, is he not?
Mathot's one of the few left-handers.
Oh, sorry, left-handed. Yeah.
That's the only thing that's really going to help him. Because I think it's Letang and Keith or Seabrook. It's one of the Chicago guys. And that's it.
We'll see. Yeah. I think they could make worse choices. And I think
after watching a team that has just right-handed shots like the Sens, you need that difference.
Exactly. Could be handy. And he's just very good defensively, even on a wider ice. I think he's not super fast, but I think he's fast enough. I think he may not be fast enough. He's mobile enough. And there's a difference. He's good with angles. We'll see. But I'd be happy if he makes it, but I'd also be happy if he doesn't, because that means he gets a vacation. So we have, you know, more of our team is on two weeks rest. Go down to the sun, go lie on a beach somewhere for 2 weeks and relax.
Oh, speaking of the schedule.
Uh-oh.
Way to go, NHL. Last preseason game for the Sens is a freaking split squad.
What
the hell? Yeah. The last preseason game is a split squad. Fail.
Why? Because they need to have it against Toronto back to back?
No, it's the Islander. It's the Islander. So half the team plays in Barrie. Half the team plays in Ottawa.
After they've all been trimmed and sent down, they got to call them back up or what?
Well, I was going to say both games were against the Islanders.
It. Yeah. So they go on at the same time. They started that last year. Oh. If you're going to do that, you do it at the start of the camp, not the last freaking game.
I was going to say, because you're going to have other players who are already down in Binghamton or back with their junior teams or whatever. Unless you're going to say, by the way, you are going blah, 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 but I'm keeping you because you're going to Barrie.
Yeah. Enjoy the 8-hour bus ride.
Oh, they'll fly them to Toronto.
Enjoy the 4-hour bus ride.
Yeah. It's only an hour and a half. But anyway.
But yeah.
That's truly.
That's really stupid.
Wow. Fail.
That just bugged me the whole time.
So you're going to that game, Dan?
Yeah, we have that one.
Might get rid of it.
Apparently you're going too, Canuck.
Maybe.
That was genius of us getting this in the same group there. That was just awesome. Hey, Colonel, screw you. Take the notes.
I'll be taking notes. Well, you see, I only have to do the home games. You get to do all the away games. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, Canuck gets to do all the away games.
All right. I've run out of things to talk about because the rookie camp's coming up and then training camp will be starting. So we'll have lots to talk about in the upcoming weeks, but I think this is about enough for now. Unless there's anything else you guys want to bring up.
I've got nothing.
Canuck.
Come home, Jared Cowan.
Is it October yet?
Oh, yeah.
It's getting there. Few more weeks to go yet. Few things to happen before then, like really important things, you know, like the opening rookie season or rookie camp, and then training camp, and the closing of fishing season.
Fishing, eh?
Yeah.
You really don't start with that.
Fishy, fishy, fishy.
Hey, I enjoy it. It gets me outside. It's a great excuse to drink beer, too.
You know, just listening back to season one, I go out and drink a lot.
They do.
Yeah.
Far more than I do.
Yeah. That's,
you just make it seem that I'm a lush because it makes you feel better or something. I don't know. I don't.
Well, granted, you didn't miss the bus twice. I forgot about that, too, when I re-listened to that. I was like, oh, yeah, that was great. That was greater than Reimer. And apparently, Bernier's greater than Reimer, too.
That's going to be interesting. I seriously think there's going to be win and you're in going on in Toronto this year between.
Oh, that works so great here, Dave. No,
exactly.
Keep it up.
I want to. Well,
it's fantastic for your morale.
You have your number one goalie from last year going up against a backup from another team that you're paying more money. So, which of them is going to win games for you? Well, it's going to be win and you're in. It's going to be great to watch. I cannot wait.
Just go get Mike Keenan behind the net again. All right, that was a good save. Switch. What?
Yeah. Well, I hear John Paddock.
Switch.
You might be able to get John Paddock away from. He's back in Philadelphia, I think, as an assistant coach. So I'll just bring him along. Have some fun. Anyway, folks, we've talked an awful lot tonight.
Wait. Predictions.
Oh?
Ottawa Senators. Where are they finishing?
Oh, hold on. What's the other group again?
The Metrosexual Division or whatever.
No, the other guys.
We're in the Atlantic Division.
Oh, okay.
The other guys.
Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, Boston, Detroit, Buffalo, Tampa, Florida.
Third?
Whoa. The conference?
Yeah.
In the division?
Or the division? Division, yeah. You'd be out, right?
No, third in your division.
No, it's four. It's four in. Top three are automatically in.
And then it's best record, two next best records after the top three in each.
Yeah. That's actually really good for the Atlantic division because Metropolitan is just going to kick the crap out of each other and keep taking away their points.
You heard it here first. I think we're coming in fourth.
We're coming in hot.
Oy. I was actually going to pick.
Yeah.
I was actually going to go with third as well. We've been agreeing way too much, and I was just about to say
it's,
you
said it. Really scary.
Yeah, stop doing that.
What do you have? I've got Boston, and I have to see Detroit, and I really don't want to.
I don't think Detroit will finish ahead of Ottawa. I think it'll be Boston and...
Tampa? I'm looking at Tampa.
No, I actually think it might be one of the other Canadian teams. I'm not sure which one. Because I can see both of them either being quite good or really not being very good at all. I'm not really sure. I think one of them will be with Ottawa in the top three. Boston will be up at the top. I don't really have any doubt on that. Detroit, not convinced.
You guys want to do cup winners again like I chose last year with Chicago? Should have shocked that.
Did you pick Chicago?
I think I did.
I don't remember who I picked.
I picked the Rangers for the President's Cup. That was way off, but
it's okay. I picked the New York Islanders to be the dark horse in the playoffs. Now they did take Pittsburgh to seven games, but I don't remember who I picked for the cup.
Oh no, it wasn't seven games. It was six, right?
They did a good job. I have no idea on a cup winner. I haven't seen any of these teams even in a preseason mode yet. So
you know what? If we do another one before the season starts, we can do it there, or maybe
I'm sure we will be
next show.
Yep, I'm sure we'll be doing one, if not more, before the actual regular season starts. But a couple of weeks from now, tease. All right. Anything else?
That's all I got.
I'm done.
Okay, folks, we've talked a lot of tonight, and I'm sure I've said a few things that have either upset people or made them say, hey, no, you're wrong or whatever. Always good to get email. It helps us come up with things to talk about, as well as lets us know that we're being listened to and tells us that we're wrong. I'm perfectly willing to be told I'm wrong. Email us. You're not willing for me to be told I'm wrong?
Oh, yes.
Appreciate that.
Don't put me wrong. Get really bitter.
You can email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. The forums are still open. They've been a little quiet over the summer, but things will start to pick up now that hockey season is coming towards us. They're the forums at sendsunderground.com. And Twitter always seems to be busy. Find us there too.
Twitter's been really stagnant. We're on that 1,040 mark right now, which is awesome. Tell your friends. And please don't try to wake me up at night. That's really getting annoying. And it works every time.
Yeah.
Pan hasn't learned the little do not disturb setting on his phone.
Yep, exactly.
He's still worried that some, like, I don't know, hot supermodel is going to call him in the middle of the night and he's going to miss it.
Yeah, but those have just been bots.
But the do not disturb setting has a feature where you can say certain numbers will always get through.
Ooh.
There you go.
Light bulbs are going off. You just blew his mind.
You can have some fun with that. Anyway, hockey season's coming. It's time to get out of summer mode and get back into hockey mode. We'll be getting into it soon enough. But for now, thanks for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Good night.
313 million. It's my ship.
the server at the Arrow and Loon last night actually walked over to me and said, so, what do you think about it? Because I know you'll actually, you know, she was giving me the, you know, because I know you'll give me a decent answer out of this. I'm like, what, does my reputation precede me? Crap. I drink too much beer, apparently. Oh, well. I don't think that's possible.
And your answer was?
It was a really cool, it's happening. Yeah, I knew that was happening. I knew that was happening. That's like, as soon as I said two words. That's why I said two words and stopped, because I knew you were going to do that. I've learned your cadence, sir. I have learned your cadence.